Good morning, Brukim Aboyim, B'Shem Hashem. As I came in to the shir room, I see a whole bunch of boxes of matzahs by the entrance, so we can definitely still talk about Pesach, especially as we pointed out last week, the Ramban tells us we're in the middle of Pesach. We haven't left Pesach, we're not planning on leaving Pesach, we're in the middle of Chol HaMoed. If you remember, we discussed leading up to the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach, which will be Chag Matan Toiroseinu Abo Aleinu L'Teilo. So we're going to focus today on a very famous mitzvah, Be'ezus Hashem, which is relevant to all of us, the mitzvah Hashem, Lo'irech Yomim V'Shonim, and that is the mitzvah that's mentioned in this week's Parsha Ish, Imoi V'Oviv Tiro'u, the mitzvah of Kibud Av Vo'Eim, and Moira Av Vo'em, and we'll see how very deeply connected that is to Pesach and the Avodah of Pesach. So let's begin with a very basic question, or in fact two questions. We know that the mitzvah of Kibud Av Vo'em appears on the Luchos HaBris and the Aseres HaDibros, and that's really the first question, a one-word question. Why? Kibud Av V'Eim, surely a very important mitzvah, it's true, but to be grouped together with Emuno Bashem and Avodah Zorah and Shabbos and Ritzicha and Ganeva, these are the absolute basics of Yiddishkeit. Kibud Av V'Eim, is that important? Kibud Av V'Eim takes central stage in our religion. Yiddishkeit views Kibud Av V'Eim as central. Apparently yes. It's in the Aseres HaDibros, and this needs to be explained. Why indeed is it in the Aseres HaDibros? But that immediately brings us to the second question, which is, if it's in the Aseres HaDibros, surely we would have expected it to be on the left-hand side. The right-hand side are Ben Odom Lemokim. The left-hand side is Ben Odom Lechaveroi. The right-hand side deals with, as we must mention, Emuna, Avodah Zorah, Shabbos, those all are Ben Odom Lemokim. The left-hand side, don't steal, don't kill, don't be jealous. I would have expected Mechabit, your parents, should be on the left-hand side of the Luchos. It seems to be on the wrong side. So these are the two very simple questions, as we've said many times during this year. Sometimes the simplest questions are the hardest to answer, but they are the most important ones. So number one, why is Kibud Av V'Eim in the Luchos and the Aseres HaDibros Bichlal? And even if it is, why indeed is it on the right-hand side of the Luchos? We surely would have expected it should be on the left. So in order to examine the very essence of Kibud Av V'Eim, indeed we're going to take a step back now, and we're going to go back to Pesach, which as mentioned, is perfectly in order because we're still in the middle of Pesach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, the time has come. The time has come, go to Paray and tell him to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. So the Medrash says a very strange thing. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying, I will go to Paroi and I'll pass on the message that you've requested, but first I need to make a stop. Where do I need to go first? I have to go to Yisrael, my father-in-law. I have to ask permission from my father-in-law, is it okay if I take leave? You're telling me we're leaving? We're going out to Mitzrayim at the moment. I'm a member of his household, my Shver, Yisrael. So I'm first, out of appreciation, I'm going to just make a stop by Yisrael and just get the green light from him. Is it okay to leave his home and leave Mitzrayim? Very beautiful middah of Akoras HaToiv. Especially, by the way, why did Yisrael ever take Moshe Rabbeinu in the first place? Chazal said because he wanted a chosn for his daughter. So he didn't take Moshe Rabbeinu in because he had big compassion for Moshe Rabbeinu. He only had his own interests in mind. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, doesn't matter what his agenda was. At the end of the day, he helped me, he took me in. More than that, he gave me his daughter to marry, so Alakara Satoiv. So first I need to make this brief stop at Yisroel, just to make sure that he's okay with me leaving. So what's the obvious question? Moshe Rabbeinu is more frum than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go to Paroi. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Yeah, but it has to be a Baal Midas, Akar Satayv. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't think of that. But what does that mean? What does that mean? That Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm sorry HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sure you won't mind if I wait a bit, but I just have to make a stop because of Midas HaKadosh Satayv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to go, surely you go. So what must be the answer? What must be the answer? This we have to try and explain. It must be, the answer has to be, that Chas v'Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu was not delaying or changing or altering the instruction. It must be that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu understood that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. That must be the answer. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to do that, how on earth can you suggest, I know you don't want me to do this, but I'm going to go to Yisroel anyway. So the answer must be that he understood that that's the oimik. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants him to do. I'll give you a mashal. Imagine you're sitting at home, and it's breakfast time. You'd like to give your children cornflakes and milk, and guess what? There's no milk in the fridge. So you say to your little boy, Chaim, do me a favor. Could you run to the store, run to the makolet and buy some milk, but quickly, as fast as you can, because everybody's waiting to have breakfast over here. Now let's work this out. The makolet is 2 minutes away. How long will you be in the makolet? I mean, in and out, a minute. So 2 minutes there, 2 minutes back, a minute there, 5 minutes, we're expecting Chaim to return. We send him out, we're waiting 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes later he shows up with the milk. Chaim, what happened? Chaim, what happened? Why do you take so long? I told you to go as quickly as you can. So he said, it's true, but when I got to the main road that I needed to cross to get to Makolet, there were buses driving down the main road the whole time, so I couldn't cross the road. So I had to wait until the buses passed, otherwise, Goach Nefesh. So what are we going to say? But why didn't the son listen to the parents' instruction? No! Obviously the child understands that what? When the parent said, go as quickly as you can, what does that mean? Go as quickly as you can, providing it's safe. Obviously the parent didn't mean put your life at danger. So the child is not outsmarting the parent. It's not being more frum than the parent. He's understanding. Obviously that's what the parent meant. Go as quickly as you can, as long as you don't put your life in danger. So L'Habdil Moshe Rabbeinu clearly must have understood, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants him straight to go to Paroi, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to deviate and he's going to go elsewhere first. That can't be. Clearly he must have understood that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant when he said go to Paroi, what did he really mean? Go to Paroi via Yisroel. But first make a stop at Yisroel. That must be the answer. And that needs explanation. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? It's true, Karas HaTov, to Yisroel, very important, but the Klal Yisroel are waiting to leave Mitzrayim. There's a whole nation who have been languishing for over 2 centuries. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Midos, Tovos are enough reason to delay Geulas Mitzrayim by a few moments. Does that make sense? Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. How did he understand that? Now those of you who came and made the brave trip to Beit Shemesh during Bein Hazmanim, you'll remember we discussed the Yesod about the Seder night. We took this Yesod into a different direction with regard to Emunah and Bitochim, but today we're going to discuss something different, but the Yesod is the same. Because if you look at the Leil HaSeder and if you pay attention carefully, you see that there's one theme from beginning to end. The main part of Seder night is obviously Magid, that's what takes the longest. And we go through the Psukim, and you remember we discussed then that those Psukim are taken from which Parsha in the main? Parshas Kisavoy, which is the Parsha of Bikurim. A person plants the fruits in his field, and Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants him the pay raise. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he presents him to the Kohenim, but one second, there's a whole declaration, Arami Oved Ovi, and we came from Lavan, and Lavan wanted to kill us, and we went down to Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to Eretz Yisrael, and he helped me with the fruits, and here they are. And all of that is the basis of most of the psukim that we quote on Seder night. Why is that? Because what is the essence of Bikurim in one word or two words? Akaras HaTov. When you come and make your declaration, how does it begin? You say, Higadati Hayoim, I've come to make the following announcement. And what does Rashi say? I'm not a Kofui Toiv. Kofui Toiv is the opposite of Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov is somebody who is appreciative, grateful. Kofui Toiv is somebody who is ungrateful. The essence of the mitzvah of Bikurim is a declaration that I'm makir toiv. And if you look throughout the theme of the Seder night, that is the recurring yesoid. Hoidoya Hakaras HaTov. Hoidoya Hakaras HaTov. And that's why we quote the Bikurim psukim on Seder night. We have Arba Kosis of Yayin. Anybody remember what we said in the Shir then? The Arba Kosis correspond to the Arba'a Shetzrichim Lahoidois. The Gemara says, four people have to thank. Who has to thank? Who has to bench Goimel? Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rosh HaTevois? Chaim. Choyle, Yisurim, Yam, Midbar. Klal Yisrael went through all four. They were Choylem, they were tortured in Mitzrayim, they went through the Yam, they were Yisurim, imprisoned in Mitzrayim, and they were in the Midbar. So the four Koisos are what? An expression of, again, Hoidoya, Kois Yeshuais Eso V'Shem Hashem Ekra. What about the three Matzahs? Three Matzahs, because in the Korban Toida, there are three types of Matzah. So the four Koisos correspond to Hoidoya. The three Matzahs correspond to Hoidoya. The psukim are bikurim. Even the word magid. You know what the word magid means? What does magid remind us of? That word we just quoted, vehigadati, which Rashi says means it's being appreciative. And then how does the Seder finish? What's the grand finale? Halel, nishmas, nirtza. That's the theme of the entire evening. From the beginning to the end, it's a night of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why indeed is Pesach and the Avodas Leil Pesach, why is it all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, Ben Azmanim, when we had our shir, we discussed the Hoidah brings you to Emunah and Bitochen. We're going to discuss a different theme today, and this is absolutely critical. This is absolutely critical. There is always a chiv to be appreciative. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Chanukah, yes a Yom Tov, not a Yom Tov, weekday Shabbos. Why is Pesach all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is, and you have to remember this line forever, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the basis of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Somebody who is makir toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somebody who is truly grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the basis and the yesoid of being an Eved Hashem. The famous Sefer that you've all learned, I hope, the Chovos HaLevavos, has a whole shar called Shar Avodas Elohim. And if you look throughout that shar, he has one theme. Do you know what that theme is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more you have a chiv of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you are expected to be an Eved Hashem. And Rabbeinu, this is very, very important. It's a misunderstood theme. Like many things in our generation, it's become cheapened. I saw a teenager recently on her phone as a little sticker, thank you Hashem. That cheapens it. That's how you thank Hashem, by putting it on the back of your telephone. On a car bumper sticker, on a fridge magnet. How do we genuinely thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Round of applause. Standing ovation. you know, there's a family in our kehila, Ramat Bet Shemesh Gimel, whose four-year-old daughter went to play at a friend's home. When she came out of the apartment into the chanaya, into the parking lot, somebody's car pulled out and didn't see her and ran her over. Benes Golui, he ran over her leg, not her head, which was a few centimeters away. The doctors, Ad Hayem Hazeh, this happened just a few weeks ago, had no understanding. This very cute little girl is very slight, very skinny, and the bone didn't break. A full-blown car drives over a four-year-old, skinny little four-year-old's leg. It didn't break her leg. A nes golui, that this girl is alive. In the beginning, the leg was very bruised. She couldn't really walk properly, and Baruch Hashem, she's recovered. Last week, he made a sudas hoidoyo. And he's a Yorah Shamayim. He's a medaktik ba'alocha, so he asked me lots of shailas. How do you make a sudas hoidoyo? And does it have to be meaty? Does it have to be milky? Does it have to be 10 men? And what do we have to say? What do we have to do? And then he asked me the most important question of all. The most important question of all was not what should we sing and what should we serve. What is the most important question, he asked me? What is the tachlis? What is the purpose of the Siddur? I said to him, my dear friend, you know what the purpose is? Yes, you're going to make a Siddur and it's going to be a Fleishig Siddur and we're going to sing Shir V'Shevach Noida L'cho and a Saper. You're going to describe the story and be Moida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As important as that is, do you know what's a thousand times more important? What happens after the Siddur Seidah? Where you and your wife go into a quiet room together and you think to yourselves, how are we going to upgrade our Avodas Hashem together? That's the purpose of the Siddur Seidah. How are you going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu by serving chicken on a plastic plate? That's the thanks, that's the Hidoyah. How does our Hakaras HaToiv, how must that be translated and converted? The answer is by becoming a better Eved Hashem. The more I feel grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, does, and will continue to do to me, that propels me, that drives me, that pushes me to be an Eved Hashem. That's the true way, not putting a little stick on your phone saying thank you Hashem, but rather feeling it in your heart that this drives me, I need to become a better Eved Hashem. I said, that's the purpose of the Siddur Seidah. Yes, we'll sing and we'll say Halal and Nishmas and you'll say Divrei Torah, but all of that is just to be Me'orer, your Regesh, in order to feel Hakaras HaToiv, such that you will elevate, you will upgrade your joint Avodas Hashem. That's what's needed, that's the Tachlis over here. And therefore, which Yom Tov is the celebration of becoming Avdei Hashem? Pesach. Hallelu, Avdei Hashem. The Yom Tov of Pesach, which is all about becoming Avdei Hashem, must therefore be based on Hakaras HaToiv. And that's why that is the theme of the Seder night. It's true. Every Yom Tov we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Shavuos, we also say Hallel. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem. We zeichet to mekabel the Torah. On Sukkot we say Hallel. On Hanukkah we say Hallel. Of course we say Hallel. But that's not the central theme of those Yom Tovim. But on Pesach, which is all about the moment we were zeichet to become an Eved Hashem, what is that based on? Based on our Hakaras HaToiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the Seder night is all about one thing and one thing only, Hoidoyah of Hakaras HaToiv. Haggadah, Bikurim, Arba Koses, Matzahs, Hallel, Nishmas, the entire evening is an expression of Hakaras HaToiv, Hakaras HaToiv, Hakaras HaToiv, Hakaras HaToiv, such that I can truly be the Eved Hashem that I ought to be. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paray please, and tell him to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. For what purpose? In order to be Avdei Hashem. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? But I just have to make a stop at Yisrael. Why HaKadosh HaToiv? So we asked But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him to go to Yisro. And we said, what must be the answer? The answer must be that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go to Paray, what did he in fact mean? Go to Paray, but first go to Moshe, to Yisro. How did he understand that? Why must that be? Now we understand. Because if your tafkid, your shlichus over here, is to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim in order they should become Oivdei Hashem. But what is Oivdei? What does it mean to be an Eved Hashem? What is the basis of being an Eved Hashem? We just explained it is all about Hakoras HaToiv. Well, obviously, it can't possibly be that the manner through which that is going to happen is by doing the opposite to Yisrael. You're going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, make them into makirei toiv and subsequently oivdei Hashem when you yourself are a kofi toiv? Didn't Yisro take you in? Obviously, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? This is the way the great Mashkiach Reb Chaim Freelander explains. That obviously you yourself first need to be a sholem in HaKaras HaToiv so that you can now propel Klal Yisrael to have that same midah of HaKaras HaToiv, which is the basis of being an Eved Hashem. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't actually spell it out, he didn't enunciate it, but Moshe Rabbeinu understood that clearly must be the Oimek. That's clearly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. This, as mentioned, is Yesoid Godoil Mo'id. Godoil Moed. The basis of being an Eved Hashem is what? To feel appreciation. To feel appreciation. Somebody who doesn't feel appreciation, we live in the age, in Ivrit, it's called the Magiali age. You know what Magiali means? I get it, I deserve it. Nobody in our Kehillah, in Rabbi Shemesh Gimel, ever comes to me and says, when Baruch Hashem is good news or a simcha, nobody says the classic expression in Ivrit, Magia li mazal tov. You know why they don't say that? Because I've mentioned in the shul so many times that when somebody came to Rabbeinu HaChazon Ish and said, Harav, Magia li mazal tov. And what did the Chazon Ish say back to him? Magia lecha klum. I deserve a mazal tov? You don't deserve anything. That's an expression of being a kofi toiv. I deserve it. Married, children, parnasa, health, wealth. Magia lecha, magia lecha, magia lecha klum. If somebody lives a life of magia li, he'll never be an Eved Hashem. He'll do the mitzvahs. Shake the lulav, blow the shofar, daven, all very, very superficial. He doesn't feel that genuine feeling of overwhelming appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can I be mekayim the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And of course, in order to truly HaKaras HaToiv, we need to stop. And we need to think. And we need to be appreciative. Not to take things for granted. What about the Yid in the United States of America? 5 years ago, during Corona, became extremely ill. Admitted to hospital, they were battling to save his life. He was putting on a ventilator, a breathing machine. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, they didn't know which way it's going to go. He was on the machine for 10 days. After 10 days, an ace, he turned the corner, he began recovering, and a few weeks later, nace golu, he was ready to leave the hospital. When he was about to leave the hospital, they called him in, a Haredi, and they said to him, excuse me, sir, but we've checked the records, and it seems to be that you actually don't have medical insurance. So you're going to have to pay for your stay in the hospital. To be on a ventilating machine is not cheap. It's $10,000 a day. And you were on the machine for 10 days, so you owe us $100,000. And on the spot, he burst out crying. And they tried to calm him down. They said, sir, don't worry, you don't have to pay all in one installment, and you don't have to pay immediately, and you can do it over time. And he said, no, I wasn't crying about that. I have the money, I can write a check on the spot, $100,000. So why were you crying? So he said, because it just hit me. If it cost $100,000 to be able to breathe for 10 days, How much do I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'll call Neshima the Neshima. How many billions of dollars do I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But we take it for granted. We breathe, because we just breathe, because we just breathe. Do you know, I have a friend who a number of years ago had twin boys. Unfortunately, these twins were born very premature and unwell. Slowly, slowly, each year there was improvement and recovery. And every year in Kailal, on their birthday, he used to make a Suda Seidoya. And I remember, this is many years ago, 20 years ago. And I remember on one occasion, listen to this, it's unbelievable. At one Suda Seidoya, he described the following. He said his baby then was, I think, a year old. One of the twins, they noticed, was not smiling. Never smiled. And we all know a young baby, you know, it's a gorgeous sight, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, smiling, grinning, laughing, never smiled once. Another problem, Nebuch, with this child, and they couldn't work it out. It took him doctor to doctor. Why is this kid not smiling? Eventually, they took him to some big mumcha. He worked it out. He calls in the parents and he says, I'll tell you why your twin, this little boy, is not smiling. Listen to this, it's mind-blowing. He said to him, do you know what it means to smile? You smile, smile. To the doctor, it's a 17-stage process. It starts with the brain has to send sensors down the spine, to the neck, to the mouth, and the muscles, the veins, the mouth, the lips, and eventually you smile. 17 stages. With this little boy, 16 out of the 17 stages are absolutely fine, but stage 14 is not, and that's why he can't smile. We smile without thinking about it. We smile, we breathe. Stage 14 is not quite right, and that's why he's never smiled. Somebody came to the great Mashkiach, Rabbi Yeruchem Lebovitz Zechet Tzadik Livrocha. He writes this in his own Sefer, and he said to the Mashkiach, do you know how many times every night you turn over in bed? And he writes, Rabbi Yeruchem, I was extremely surprised by his strange question. That's what he writes in his Sefer. What a peculiar question to ask a Gadol B'Yisrael. Do you know how many times you toss and turn in bed every night? But then he explained, and Yeruchem was so taken, he wrote a whole shmuz about it. This individual had just come from visiting an individual in hospital. This particular chole, Rachmona Litzlan, had some severe back problems, and he couldn't turn over in bed. And it was Yisurim Noiroim, because he couldn't sleep properly. Every time he wanted to turn, he couldn't. It was itchy and uncomfortable. So besides all the problems he had already, but add to that a lack of sleep, so he couldn't recover, so it just became worse. And he said to the Mashkiach, do you know how many times you roll over in bed? No. It's not even that we do it without thinking, we do it without knowing. So we smile, and we breathe, and we turn over in bed. Magiali! Magiali! Everybody's breathing, every live person I know breathes, so I'm one of them. The avoid of akara satoyiv is just to stop. On occasion, as you're walking around, Baruch Hashem, I'm walking. I'm eating, Baruch Hashem, I'm eating. We know some people who are on feeding tubes, some people are in wheelchairs. I can hear. I have a goof, I have a family. I'm here in Eretz Yisrael, greatest zechus in the world. To feel constantly, Val nisecho shebechol yoyim imonu, Val niflo yisecho v'toyvo yisecho shebechol, why? What am I trying to achieve with that sentiment? Not to put a stick on my phone, thank you Hashem. To feel that I need to respond. How do I respond? By upgrading my avodas Hashem. That's how I respond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any other response. What's so important to note, and now we come back to where we started, is that HaKoras HaToiv begins even Bein Odom L'Chaveiroi. Because if I don't express my appreciation to those who have done toivos and chasodim to me, beidonim lachaveiroi, then I won't be makir toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu either. Who says this enormous yesod? The Sefer HaChinuch. Where? In the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, a person has to be appreciative to those who brought him or her onto this world. They brought him to this world, and how much exertion and tircha that they undertook to look after you when you were young. And then he writes the last line, ukeshe yikva zois hamido benafshoi, when your kriveya, this mida benafshoi, when that becomes part and parcel of you, then what will happen? Eventually ya'ale mimeno, do you know, arise from that, lahakir toivas hokeil baruch hu. Our whole akoras atoiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on our akoras atoiv to our parents. There's nobody in planet Earth that we need to be more appreciative to than our own parents. I remember when I got married, my wife is a daughter of Jacobovitz Zecher Tzadik Livracha, chief rabbi of England. His wife was a very famous Isha Gedela, Rebbetzin Jacobovitz. So then I worked in the United States and America, but the United Kingdom, the way it used to be at least, when you send a wedding invitation, you have a reply card. Now they have that your side of the world as well? No, it's all by email. So you have a reply card. What does it say on the reply card? You have to fill it out. I will attend. I won't attend. My wife's grandmother, Lady Jacobovitz, Rebbetzin Jacobovitz, she had a terrific sense of humor as well, so she writes on the responding card, where it says, I will attend, she writes, of course I'm attending, because without me, you wouldn't exist anyway. And she's 100% right. She's 100% right. That's the feeling. That's the feeling. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here without. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, if you have that feeling towards your parents, then you'll have it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. But if you have the Magia Li syndrome, my parents look after me. I mean, well, why shouldn't they? Every parent look after their child. Oh, everything's Magia. So I breathe, I turn over in bed, I smile, I have clothes, I have food. My parents gave it to me. Okay, fine. If that's the way I live, says the Sefer HaChinuch, I'll never lakaros atayit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So have we now answered our original questions? We asked, why is Kibud Av in the Aseres Hadibros Bichlal? Why is it so central and why is it on the right-hand side? Haven't we answered both questions now? Why is Kibud Av so central? Because that is what develops the Midah of HaKoras HaToiv in me, which is the basis of my entire relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's on the right-hand side of the Duchess. Because the tachlis, the purpose of this mitzvah is to strengthen my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the mitzvahs on the left-hand side of Luchas are how to interact with other people, to be able to live side by side. Don't kill, don't steal, don't be jealous. I have to mechabed my parents in order to mechazed my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a bein odom lemokin mitzvah. But yes, first and foremost, we have to understand that's why it's in the Luchas in the first place. Not just another mitzvah. It's the mitzvah which personifies HaKoras HaToiv, which, as we've explained, is the basis of being an Eved Hashem. The basis of being an Eved Hashem. And because it's the basis of my entire Avodas Hashem, it's on the right-hand side of the Luchos. Because it reflects my Kesher, my Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once heard, in fact I heard this on more than one occasion, Magoyin Reb Shlomo Brevda, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Shlomo Brevda, as you probably know, originally American, he was in the UK, in Eretz Yisrael, and he was Zecher to have a very, very close connection with many, many G'dayli Yisrael. With Rav Shach, and Chazan Ish, and Briskerov, and Rav Chatzkel Abramsky, and Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecherinu Livracha. And I remember he used to say, all these Gedolim Yisrael, each one with their gadlus, with their derech, with their uniqueness, with their individuality. But he always used to say there was one midah that was common to all of them. there was a common denominator, you should say, between all the G'dayim Yisrael that I was zeicha to know. And you know what that was, he said? The mid of Akara Sotayif. He said, I saw it countless times. But now I think we understand what he means. Because Akara Sotayif, what does it mean to be a Gadol Yisrael? You have a long white beard, that's what it means. It means your photograph appears on the front page of the newspaper. No, to be a Gadol Yisrael means you're an outstanding Eved Hashem, that's what it means. And if to be an outstanding Eved Hashem, that must by definition be based on the middle of Akaras HaTov, so that's why all the Gadol Yisrael excel in the middle of Akaras HaTov. So I'm putting my 4-year-old twins to bed two nights ago, and they told me, Daddy, tell us a story before we go to sleep. Fine. So I said to them, there was a big Rosh Hashiva called Rabbi Yisrael Gustman, originally from Vilna. He had a Shiva in Yerushalayim, Erech Kodesh. And the Bochran noticed a very strange thing. Rav Gustman used to go out the Beis HaMedrash from time to time into the courtyard of the yeshiva and used to water the plants. Not a very Rosh Hashiva type thing to do. So one of the Bochran finally plucked up the courage. Rabbeinu Reisha Yeshiva Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu. Everything a Gadol Yisrael does must have meaning. Why do you water the plants? I'm sure you've got better things to do with your time. So he said, because back in Russia, when I was escaping the Nazi and Russian guards, I had to run from home and had to hide in the forest, and there was no food there. The only thing I could eat was some berries and some herbs that I found on some trees. So I've always had a Akaras HaTov to trees. That's why I water the trees. So his watering of trees was nothing to do with botanical interest, because he wanted to make yeshiva look pretty. Because he had a Akaras HaTov to trees. That's why he's a Gadol Yisrael. Somebody comes to the great Gadol Yisrael, Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Issa Zalman was really old. And he comes together with his fresh Bar Mitzvah Bochru. And he presents him with an invitation. I'm making a Bar Mitzvah this week. And he said, obviously I don't want, and I'm not expecting the Rosh Hashiva to be Matriach. We're making a Suda, it's in my apartment, which is three floors up, and there's no elevator. The last thing I'm expecting the Rosh Hashiva to come, but I just wanted to be Mechaber the Rosh Hashiva, maybe ask for a bracha for my chasen bar mitzvah. And in the middle of the Suda, there's a knock on the door, and in walks Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer. The Baal Simcha felt terrible. What a tremendous cover that the God Lader comes by. He was in his 90s. And I told the Rosh Hashiva, you don't have to come, I didn't expect you to come. Said the Rosh Hashiva, it's true, but I have a Akaras HaTov for your son, the Bar Mitzvah boy. Akaras HaTov? I don't believe the Rosh Hashiva has actually ever spoken to my son ever. I have a Akaras HaTov. What's a Akaras HaTov? He says, I'll tell you the truth. When you brought me the invitation, I was not planning on coming. It's old, it's difficult, hard. I was reading the invitation. Suddenly it hit me, 1 second. I remember when this boy was born. It seemed like yesterday. But it wasn't, it was 13 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, you see how time flies? You see how time moves on? I'm not going to be here forever. I have to be chayza b'tshuva. So I had a machshava of tshuva because of your bar mitzvah boy. I have a Akaras HaTov to him. What did Bar Mitzvah boy actually do to trigger this? The only thing he did was be born. Because that got the Rosh Hashiva thinking how time flies, Rabbi Chayez of a tshuva, I had a machsheves tshuva b'zchus your son, and a Akaras HaTov. Akaras HaTov. Kibud Av V'Eim is sometimes a challenging mitzvah. And sometimes, and nobody needs to raise their hand, anybody sitting or standing in this room, sometimes there's a thought that enters one's mind that, you know, if my father was a big Rosh Hashiva, my mother was some super duper famous personality, big tzaddik, it would be easy for me to mechaber da v'ein, but what, my parents? I look at my friend's parents, oh, wow, psh, halavai, halavai, my parents? My parents. Maybe there's somebody here sitting in this room who doesn't perhaps have the best relationship with their parents. The challenge, how am I going to mechabed them? So I remember a Yid in England once told me, Ramonti Leitner, his name is Zichrono Livracha, he told me such a beautiful machshava. When you look at the Luchos, where was Kabed Eslavicha V'simecha, as we've explained, on the right-hand side, where at the bottom, it's the fifth. What was the fifth of the Luchos on the left-hand side? Leisachmoitz, you know what he told me? You know you have to read that? Kabed Eslavicha V'simecha Leisachmoitz. Don't be jealous of other people's parents. Appreciate and realize that if those people are your parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them tailor-made for you. You have a good relationship, you have a bad relationship, but those are the ideal parents for you. Kabed es avicha v'simecha leisach moed. And the Mir Rosh Hashiva, it's Reb Chaim Shulev, it said that he always noticed that he said, and my father always used to look for big milers in his parents. They weren't necessarily maybe G'dayli Oilam, but he used to look for a miler. He said, I never understood it. And he says, eventually I understood, because in order genuinely to mechabed somebody, you have to feel that it can't just be superficial. So I've got to find some, surely some unique quality about my father, about my mother. And even if maybe I've got complaints, and maybe I've got tainas, and maybe I'm justified, but all of that is irrelevant. If I can think to myself, you know, look how my father is always kriviya itim l'toira, never misses. What a special midah. He deserves kavod. Look how he always does chesed to people. And you might be thinking, and the Yetzer gets you, does chesed to people? Doesn't do much chesed to me. Makes fun of me, gets angry with me. But say it, but you managed to find the maila. And about your father, and about your mother. Just understand, these are the perfect parents for you. In conclusion, we know that there's a very unique schar for the mitzvah of Kabed es avicha v'simecha. And what is that? Who doesn't want arichas yomim? That's not why we do mitzvahs. We're doing mitzvahs shloy al manas the kabel pras. But you're allowed to know there's a tremendous pras awaiting for you. So there's a young avreich sitting in Ponovich Yeshiva, Bnei Brak. And one day he gets a phone call from his 94-year-old grandfather in the United States of America in the middle of Seder. Gival, Zaidi, what's happened? Why are you calling me? Everything okay? He says, I want to tell you what happened. His 94-year-old grandfather in the middle of Seder calls him from the United States. And he says to his Einikel, listen carefully. 80 years ago, I was a Bochen Yeshiva in Europe. Big Yeshiva. And one day, an announcement is made. Rabbeinu HaChofetz Chaim is coming to town. The God Ladder. And the whole yeshiva are going to meet him, to be mekabel upon him, Rabbeinu Baal HaChofetz Chaim. He says, this Zayda, I got a telegram from my father, I don't want you to go. Every single bocha is good, I don't want you to go. I'm worried there's going to be an enormous crowd there, it's going to be pushing, shoving, dangerous, I think it's unhealthy, I don't want you to go. What should I do? Everybody's going. Keep it out. My father said, don't go, don't go. So the whole yeshiva went. I was left behind. The bochrim come back. And I say to him, no, how was it to see the Chofetz Chaim? And they say to him, to see the Chofetz Chaim? We didn't just see him. Every one of us filed past, and each one of us got a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. There I am thinking, not only did I miss the opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity to see Rabbeinu Chofetz Chaim, I didn't get a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim either. The only bracha in the whole yeshiva. But keep it up. Tells us Einikel, eventually we all graduated from the yeshiva, most of us moved to the United States of America, and we kept up with each other. Baruch Hashem, we got married and set up home, became parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Unfortunately, over the years, one by one, passed away. And he said, I'm calling you to tell you that this morning the last member of yeshiva was just nifta. I'm the only surviving bocha from that yeshiva. So he told his Einikel, a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim is a gewaldig gezach. But a bracha of the Torah for keeping kibud av and arichas yomim is even more gewaldig. That's great to say. Look what I was zeicha to. Undoubtedly, it was zeicha, birkas, godol ador, I'm sure it piled Yeshua's. It's a very great thing to get a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim, but a bracha of the Torah is greater still. I was makbid to keep kibud av. Look, I outlived them all. I was zeicha to the bracha of the Torah, l'man yarichon yomecha. A woman here in Eretz Yisrael was rushed to hospital very ill. The doctors examined her and they said, you are in serious, serious condition. And unfortunately, we have to tell you the news, you have 6 weeks to live. Normally, when you tell a patient like that, they panic, freak out, and surprisingly, she seemed very calm. And the doctor said to her, did you understand what we just said? You're in a serious, serious, serious condition. And she seemed extremely ragua, very at peace, and she said to the doctor, yeah, besedo. It'll be fine. It won't, said the doctor. You have 6 weeks to live. And she said to the doctor, I have an elderly mother whom I look after the mesiras nefesh. And in the Torah it says that if you mechabed av va'em, you have arichas yomim. So don't tell me I have 6 weeks to live. She lived longer than 6 weeks. Her mother lived longer than 6 weeks for another year and 2 years. 3 years, 4 years later, the elderly mother passed away. And her daughter passed away 6 weeks after that. So, al pi darkei hateva, the doctors were right. She had 6 weeks to live, but you can't interfere with the bracha of the Torah. You're looking after your mother, arichas yomei. So, as mentioned, that's not why we're makbid on the mitzvah of kibud av va'em. But there's no issa to know that that's the bracha of the Torah. The bracha of the Chofetz Chaim is unbelievable, but the bracha of the Torah, Kedosha! So this is the Yesoid Godel that I wanted to share with you this morning. The essence of a Yid is to be Makir Tov. The more grateful, the more that feeling that I have to respond by upgrading my Avodas Hashem. It needs thought that I'm breathing, I'm smiling, I'm turning over in bed. That was the whole essence of Pesach, because the Yesod of Pesach is celebrating the coming of Eved Hashem. And that's why Kibud Av Va'em is in the Aseres Adibros on the right-hand side. Yes, it's central to Yiddishkeit, because it's the basis of our Keshu with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Even if it's not the easiest mitzvah. Kavod Esavicha Ve'Esimecha Lo Yisachmoy, to realize there's something unique about my parents and they're tailor-made for me. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all have the zechus to mekayem in this mitzvah, le'oirech, yomim v'shonim, and indeed, to be zeicher to the bracha, leman yarichun yomecha.